Welcome to Caregivers and Candid Conversation Podcast. I am Lashina McBride, the host and the executive director of We Support Caregivers Incorporated. We Support Caregivers is a 501c3 organization whose mission is to encourage and empower individuals who care for their elderly loved ones to cultivate and focus on self-care. To make a donation or to learn more about us, please visit WeSupportCaregivers.org. And caregivers, while you're on our website, be sure to check out everything that we've made available to you. From our Care Connection emails that you can subscribe to, from our self-care support text that you can join, from our self-care support kits that you can sign up to possibly receive one, the birthday club, our free educational resources, and more. Again, visit WeSupportCaregivers.org and check all these resources that are available to you, the caregiver.
Entrepreneurs, content creation should never be your concern. Socially Established LLC is a social media management business whose mission is to alleviate entrepreneurs and small business owners from managing their social media. Socially Established LLC offers content creation and social media management packages for your convenience. Remember, you were never meant to manage everything on your own. Visit sociallyestablished.com to choose your service package today. Socially Established LLC, establishing what entrepreneurs need.
So welcome to another podcast episode of Caregivers and Candid Conversations. So I have the pleasure to be with today, Miss Kimberly Kenyatta. She is the treasurer here at We Support Caregivers, and she is a former caregiver. So she and I, we're going to be discussing the unconventional ways of caregiving. So Kim, go ahead and introduce yourself and let everybody know a little bit about you and everything like that.
Thank you so much. I want to first say thank you for having me on today. Mm-hmm. I am Dr. Kimberly Kenyatta.
Yes.
I am the treasurer at WeSupportCaregivers.com or .org here. And I do appreciate so much the attention that's played on caregiving mm-hmm. of our patients with dementia, mm-hmm. Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. whatever the illness or disease is. Mm-hmm. And I am so honored and happy to be a part of the podcast on today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you're on our team, girl, period. Yes. Much needed. And I appreciate everything that you do for us. So I think Kim and I was talking during our 5th year anniversary lunch.
Yes.
And we were just, you know, reminiscing on the things that we had to do while taking care of me, myself, taking care of my mom and you, I think it was your grandma.
Yes.
So I said, you know, we have to talk about this because I know we're not the only ones that had to do some unconventional ways of caregiving, implementing things that may not be quote unquote the proper way, but it was the right way during that time to help get us through that moment caring for our loved ones. So I want to bring you on to talk about that so we can discuss it, because I'm pretty sure, like me, when I first started taking care of my mom, I kind of fell into that role. I didn't know what I was. I just knew I needed to take care of my mom. So I went through some hard knocks.
Yes.
I had to learn. I thank God for all the nurses and doctors and the tips and the things they were telling me. But late in the midnight hour,
yes.
Honey.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay? Late in the midnight hour, it was some hard knocks I had to learn. So Google, YouTube, you know, things like that. Thank God for those resources. But we're sharing this information today so other caregivers can understand that you're not alone.
Right. And I think it's so key. It's our experiences that make the difference. Because
yes.
You can have the professionals to tell you,
come on,
what you need to do, what you should do.
Right.
But when you're in that room 101,
come on.
It's a totally different story.
Absolutely. So we want to let other caregivers know you're not alone. If you had to do some unconventional ways of caregiving or unconventional things, Don't feel bad. Don't feel guilty. You didn't know. As long as your mom, dad, whomever it was, or is that you're taking care of, it's not endangering them or, you know, jeopardizing their health, whatever, you're fine. You don't know. You're not the professional. So you have to do what you have to do to make it through in that moment and to make sure your mom, dad, whoever it is that you're taking care of, you know, is good in that moment.
Yes.
Good yes. in that moment. Because still, you know, when you're tasked with taking care of somebody, the focus goes on them. Like, okay, I want to make sure they're okay. Why is she behaving like this? Like, my mom, we found out later on my mom had vascular dementia. Because see, when I tell you it was a fight getting her out the house, yes. honey, it was a fight. So I had made sure everything she needed came to the house. Podiatry came to the house. Her doctor came to the house. What else? I mean, anything we needed. They needed urine, blood work. They came to the house. I really thank God for those services.
Yes.
You know, the doctors and nurse practitioners that have those mobile services that will come to the house. I'm really appreciative and thankful because it made my life easier because it was really hard getting my mom out the house. We had to be strategic and things like that, getting her out the house. So I brought everything to her. Physical therapy came to her. Like, everything came to her. So it was later on we found out she had vascular dementia. We knew that the certain things wasn't, you know, she was doing that was kind of out the way. And we didn't know. I will always equate it to a UTI. Because as you know, in elderly people, UTIs can cause them to act different ways. Yes. So well, the last time I would say we had our urine check, it was nothing. Not just a quick check that the ER would do. But they do a culture for 3 days. Yes. Mm-hmm. And when they said it was no infection. So her doctor, I called her doctor. Her doctor came out. I said, do you think it's dementia? She said, I would definitely say it's dementia. Probably vascular because she had vascular issues.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So at that moment, I had to learn up and educate myself on, okay, dementia. And then when you really learn that when somebody's demented, parts of their brain are dying.
Yes.
Parts of their brain are dying.
Yes.
And when we came to that realization, we knew, okay, this is what it is. And different types of dementia, different people act different ways. Because my mom, she can be having a dementia moment and snap right back into her.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And sometimes, believe it or not, people can have the same type of dementia.
And still.
But because of their morals, because of their culture, because of the way they was bred, because of their past lifestyles, because of their past habits, they can still act out in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so what works for one does not work for the other.
Correct.
But it takes the caregiver to settle down and understand and learn the pattern and behaviors of that individual that they're dealing with at this current moment.
Exactly.
And that's what's going to be key into making things more susceptible, maintain some order, not to say it would be perfect, but that will help to maintain some order just to realize the behaviors of what you're dealing with the person that you're caregiving for.
Right.
Which just sounds like what you did.
Right. And there goes the unconventional way
yes.
of caregiving. So Kim, what would you say, just some examples of some of the unconventional ways of caregiving you had to do when it came to taking care of your mom? I think you said even your husband.
Yes.
What was some of the unconventional ways? Because of course, like, we want other caregivers to know you're not alone. And even here's another thing. Even if you learn the proper way, it doesn't mean it's going to work with
right.
that person.
It does not.
Actually, the unconventional way might work over the conventional
work way. Better. Because again, they have their own behaviors.
Right.
And you know, just because, like you said, there are different components of their brain that's dying.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything dies
correct.
At the same time.
That's correct.
Not everything dies at the same speed.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on what is left, what they're working with.
Right.
And you know, even though they do the MRI scan,
yep.
they are not to a point where they can say, hey, this part of the brain is decreasing
right.
slower than this part, and they're going to act like this. We don't have that type of advanced technology
right.
yet. But working with my grandmother, I would say, is where I got most experience.
Okay.
Because she was still very sharp when she came to live with me. She was about 90 then.
Okay.
And I think our biggest thing was she was a very health conscious woman.
Okay.
Even in her younger days. She believed in self-care.
All right.
She believed. So we would go walking. She liked, I saw, for the sun to shine on her face. So there were some moments when she woke up and she was agitated. Mm-hmm. We set a chair at the back door, lift the blind.
Okay.
So the sun could shine directly in on her.
Okay.
And that's just one example, mm-hmm. you know, of her early morning. She wanted her coffee, mm-hmm. you know, and even though they get, a lot of people say when they get that age, let them have what they want to have. Well, you want them to stay here a little while longer.
Right.
You still have to monitor that diet.
That's true.
So she wanted her coffee. You know, we had to use some decaf coffee, a little less sugar, mm-hmm. you know. If she got the chance, she would try to steal some sugar. More sugar. She did not want to take her medicines.
Oh, my. I got stories, my stories with that. Go ahead.
Did not. So, but she did like pudding.
The pudding.
Yogurt.
Well.
So we take the peel.
That's right.
Now all peels can be crushed.
That's right.
We take the peels and we crush it up real fine.
Yeah, I did that too.
And we mix that yogurt up for her so well.
That's right.
You know, and one instance, some stuff, she wouldn't eat any yogurt. She had to have, you know, their digestive system sometimes becomes challenged. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she had a stool softener. I couldn't mix it in. So I would just drop it in her tea or her coffee and the heat would dissolve it.
Oh, yes.
And that was some of the unconventional ways of getting her to take her medication.
Yes.
She wasn't hearing it.
Right.
Lay a pill down and she's going to take it, you know. And it just sometimes depends on how she was feeling. You know, sometimes I could get her to cooperate with a little bribe and for a little piece of chocolate or a Pepsi. Mm-hmm. Those were her favorite. Mm-hmm. When it comes to washing, body care, mm-hmm. it's a whole challenge.
Always.
We made a deal when she first came.
How'd that deal work?
It worked good because I didn't force her to get in the tub every day. She was getting a little older. Could she? Yes. But I didn't force her to get in the tub every day unless there was a reason it caused that she needed to get in the tub. Mm-hmm. So we made a deal that we would wash and we would take a bath every Saturday.
Okay.
She'd get in the tub because church was on Sunday. That worked. And did we have some times where she didn't want to get it?
Sure.
Most definitely. So in that time, I would say, well, Grandma, let's get undressed so we can get you washed. You sit right here on the side of the tub so that I can fix your water, you know. And then from there, it's just like, hey, ease your legs over on the other side of the tub. And I thank God, my grandmother was small, so ease your legs. Once I got those legs on,
that's right. It was a done deal.
I can just pick her little self up and put her in the tub. But you know, it takes sometimes some bribe, some coaching, mm-hmm. some encouraging, mm-hmm. In order to get them to go along with the process.
Right.
You know, and so that went well. I really didn't have a lot of problems with her there. Sleeping. You know, they're not always conscious of mm-hmm. their sleeping.
Right. And sundowning and stuff like that.
Yes, definitely. So I would try to, she likes walking. So it never failed that about 12 or 1 o'clock, she would want to go to sleep. So at 12 or 1 o'clock, that was our walking time.
We would go
for a walk.
Got you.
Or we would go to the grocery store. Or we would go to the mall. We just, somewhere. So that she could be active. Mm-hmm. Because once you get through that period of wanting to take that nap, you know how sometimes you're so tired, you wake mm-hmm. up, you wake regain up. Energy.
That's right.
And so it was a process, strategy to keep her from just dozing in the daytime. Mm-hmm. You know, if it was 15, 20 minutes, that would be fine. Mm-hmm. Long term, no. So some of the unconventional ways, like, Grandma, let's go walking.
Right.
Let's go in the yard and see the flowers.
Right. So strategy had to be used.
Yes.
In those situations. You know what? I remember, let me tell you. So when I was taking care of, you know, when I learned about dementia, I realized my mom has always been a person. You was going to make her do what she don't want to do anyway. Okay. But honey, my mom, I remember, I woke up one night, my mom, her favorite place was the couch.
Oh,
I woke up one night You know, I had a baby monitor, so I had, you know, one in my room out there, one out there with her. So I get up, go to the bathroom. I sit, I walk by, and I see my mom sitting on the floor. I was like, okay. I was like, Mom, why are you on the floor for? She said, I see these bugs. I was like, where they at, Mom? I don't see anything. She said, oh, there they go. They. I was like, she said, go get some spray. So, of course, we didn't have any spray, right? Mm-hmm. So I got like a bottle that looked like it was spray.
Yes, yes.
And I put some water in it. And I start going around spraying. Because in her head, in her mind, whether it was the dementia, whether it was medications that could have caused her to start seeing things and stuff like that, I act like I was spraying.
Yes.
And I went around spraying. She's like, oh, did it go crawling up the wall? I said, okay, Mom, I'm spraying them up the wall. Yes. Whatever I needed to do to make her feel calm and better, because she was picking them off. I was like, but Mom, I don't see anything. Oh, there it is. I said, okay. And I sprayed. And I that's what I did. Was there any bug spray in there? It absolutely wasn't. It was water.
Right.
H2O. But that's what it seemed like they worked.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? And then she didn't want to get back on the couch. So I sat right there next to her on the floor. And that's how the night was.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
And so I had to use strategy.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, but it made the situation better, you know. And that was that. That's unconventional.
Yes.
It was no spray. It was no real bug spray. I didn't see not a bug. But whatever she was seeing, and it made her calm and better. And that's what I did.
Yes.
So that was unconventional. I remember nothing I had to do. You know, again, I need to go to the grocery store. I didn't have anybody that, you know, can come and sit with her. So I have two cell phones, plus we had the house phone. Mm-hmm. What I did was, no, my mom wasn't mobile. You know, she lost the ability to really walk on her own. You know what I mean? So I was like, and I also had a camera in the house because, you know, during the week, I did have an aide come in, you yes. know, just to, you know, help out a little bit. So what I did was, I needed to go to the store, knew I could not get her to come with me. I called one of the cell phones and put it on speaker and let her start talking to me, you know, as I was on, you know, with the other phone. As I was walking out, I was like, Mom, I'm just running up to Walmart. And what I mean, Walmart was just up the street. It was a five minute little just jump up the street. And I was like, Mom, I'm going to Walmart, but I'm going to talk to you the whole way while I'm in the
yes.
store and everything.
Yes.
You understand what I'm talking about? So I hear you, I'm driving. Mom, you're all right? She said, yeah, I'm just watching TV. I said, okay, well, I'm going to Walmart. Well, I'm here in the store. I'm about to get the, you know, just to keep her occupied
yes.
until I can get back with her.
Yes.
And thank God she was sitting right there in that one little spot. When I walked through the door, I was like, well, I'm on my way back now. You're right. Yeah, she's not fine. Because my mom had anxiety issues, too.
Oh, okay.
So she always felt the need. She always needed somebody there just to keep her. She didn't want to feel by herself. She had anxiety issues. She didn't want to feel by herself. So I knew that. So to make her feel like she was still fine and somebody was still there, I would talk to her on one phone. And she's there left with the other. So, you know, we're having a conversation just like if you was at the store now, calling me on the phone. That's how it was.
Yeah.
It worked. I did what I had to do. I got back. She was fine. I got what we needed from the store. And there you go. You know what I mean? And then I also had the phone, the camera. So I knew I could always look and see, okay, she's fine. She's sitting there. I'm like, you're all right, Mom? She's like, yeah, but Harry back. I'm like, I'm on my way back. You know what I mean? So I did those type of things. So again, was it the conventional way of things? Maybe not, but it worked for the moment.
Yes, yes. To keep her safe,
yep.
To keep her calm.
There you go.
And then you're also able to go and do what needed to be done
right.
all in the same token.
Right.
And I think it's so key. That's why I think these conversations are necessary.
Yes.
You know, we have seniors are living longer.
Yes.
With all the advanced medicine, they're going to live even longer.
That's right. And
you know,
us,
with the
grandparents, grandchildren, the children, the
yes.
great, they want, we're going to have to help.
Yes.
That's just how it is.
And so this conversation is so important for those who need it because they need to know those ways that they can work around things
Correct.
Outside of the box.
Yes, you have to.
Be strategic about
yes.
their day-to-day life cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it is. I remember one time my grandmother My grandmother, she always mostly liked to wear dresses.
Okay.
You know, but we're going out, you know. And she didn't want to wear this particular dress. But I knew that for the weather that was going to be out, that she needed to wear this, you know, a long sleeve dress. But mm-hmm. she didn't want to hear it this particular day. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I had to be like, grandmother, let's try this on so that we can see.
Yep.
So that we can see how to make it work. And maybe if you don't want to wear it today, you can wear it tomorrow. And she tried it on and we matched her stockings and her shoes mm-hmm. and what have you. And before long, she even forgot about, mm-hmm. I didn't want to wear uh-huh. this dress, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's just the way that, it's just the way the mind works, you know? Mm-hmm. She truly may not have wanted to wear that dress to begin with, but after she got it on and I complimented her on it, she thought nothing else about it. She was, at the end, she was a wanderer also.
Oh,
know?
Okay, yeah.
She moved from the bedroom mm-hmm. to, you know, I would have to keep the screen door locked. Mm-hmm. And luckily enough, I had a type of screen door she couldn't unlock. She couldn't mm-hmm. figure out. And she would just wander. So sometimes at the end, it got to the point where she didn't need to wander during the night. So I had to think of a way to keep her from wandering all over the house.
There you go.
So what I did was I bought one of those stretchy doors, the folders. They call them bifolders.
Okay.
And put them up at the kitchen door. And the lock that you can pull down to lock it.
Okay.
I put it on the other side of
Got
the door.
It.
So she couldn't pull it down, unlock it. And then on the other side, I have a like a square in the middle. You can walk around a square in my home. And on the other side where my wash and dryer was, I didn't have a doorway. So I had to get fancy mm-hmm. and I bought a 2x4.
Oh, okay.
And jammed it between the washer and the dryer.
Got it.
So that I could quarter off her area of wandering. You know,
there you go. Yep.
Lock the other bedroom yep. doors at night. And just to keep her, she could walk to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. She could walk as far as that one hallway and back to the other. Mm-hmm. You know, have her a snack or two in the room just to cordon her off mm-hmm. to where she couldn't get into the kitchen.
Get out.
Or the mm-hmm. living room. Keep her safe all in the same
right.
token.
Yep. So you had to do the boxing method. It worked. It kept her safe.
Yes.
You know, during the night. So grandma couldn't be out running the street. Girl, listen, another story. So this wasn't pertaining to take care of my mom, but I used to take care of another lady. She had dementia. Nighttime. Honey, let me tell you. So her granddaughter lived not too far from her. So one night I had to work the 11 to 7 shift mm-hmm. because again, the family needed me there because of her like to get out at night and wondering. So before I can even start my shift, she always sit in the front of her front porch. Before I can go, she said, "Oh, we gotta go get Kayla." I was like, "Kayla?" She's like, "Yeah." Cause she always stayed the night with me. I was like, "Where Kayla?" She said, "Come on." When she started grabbing them shoes, girl. So what I do? I had to walk. We walk. It was like 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, summer night. I was walking down the street with her.
Wow.
I said, well, let me call your daughter because, you know, so I had to call her daughter. I said, hey, your mom and I, we're walking the street because she want her granddaughter. She want to go make sure her granddaughter there. She said, tell her that Kayla's with her mom, so-and-so. I said, hey, your daughter just said that Kayla's with someone, with your daughter, and she's okay. She's like, what? She's like, you sure? I was like, yeah, tell. And then, so she needed to know her granddaughter was okay. Or we was going to be out all night looking for a girl.
Yes.
You
yes.
know what I mean? So I had to use strategies. And let me call her daughter because she had two daughters. The daughter that I called didn't have the granddaughter. It was her youngest daughter and granddaughter. You know, it was her youngest daughter whose daughter, which is her granddaughter. That's who she was looking for and stuff like that. But, and she did have dementia. Yeah. You know what I mean? And she was the aggressive side. Oh, no, we going. So again, when I stayed at night, I didn't. And even though I rested, I never could sleep heavy.
Fall asleep. Mm-hmm.
She would come out because she was a wonder. And I sat where the door was. So you got to get past me to get out that door, sweetie. So it was, well, who are you? I said, oh, I'm your daughter's friend, so-and-so. She's like, oh, you can't. One night she kicked me out.
I sat outside of my car. I mean, she's like, oh, I don't remember you. I don't know you. My daughter's not going to be controlling my life. You got to go. I was like, but Miss So-and-so, you know, you remember I was here just the other night. We was in the room watching TV, eating popcorn and everything. She's like, I don't know who you are. So what I do, I left, but I sat outside in front of the door. I sat outside in the car in front of my door. In front of her door. And I called her door. I said, hey, your mom just kicked me out. I mean, what can I say?
What could you do?
What can I do? You know? And her daughter came over in the morning and she gave her mom her medication and stuff like that. I still was on my post. I wasn't in the house. Mm-hmm. I was in front of the door, literally, and that's how my night was. You know what I mean? So some people would have left. No, yep. I'm still there.
Yep.
I'm not in the house. I knew all she was going to do was just go back in her room, watch Steven fall asleep. I knew that already. So the morning time came but people with dementia, you have to act like nothing ever happened. So it was like, oh, hey, how you doing? She's like, oh, I'm gonna make you some coffee and stuff until your daughter come over. She's like, well, okay, you know, and cause she liked the coffee in the morning. So even before I left at 7, I'll make her coffee and stuff like that. Cause she was an early riser. You know what I mean? I had to make sure I gave her medications. Most of the time she took it, sometimes she didn't. And that was a rough night when she didn't.
Yes.
I mean, that's just how it was.
Yes.
So again, and you know, it was unconventional, but it worked,
yes.
You know?
And it takes those moments and you use those moments for the next time.
Correct.
Because they don't remember anything right. that happened. And you'll just wear yourself out.
Yes.
Fussing back and forth with them, arguing back and forth. They don't remember. And so it's using those particular situations like you just mentioned to say, next time, what can I do left? Me, myself, next time, I would probably hide in. Can I use the bathroom? I hide in the closet. Mm. Because after a little while, they won't remember.
Right.
You know, unless they get aggressive.
Right.
You know, you just have to use their situations, what they say. And you have to, I hate to say, use it against them.
Right.
You have to plot against them.
Yes.
Because they really don't know. All right. they know is what their mind tells them to
right.
remember. And some of it may be from 50
correct.
Years ago.
Correct, correct.
Very seldom of it is what happened yesterday, today.
Right, right. Because she was also on past situations. And,
yes.
Because she was from New York. And I said, oh, well, I'm from Connecticut. So we had that up north type of thing, you know, going on and stuff like that. So, you know, she would talk about her experiences and what she'd been through and stuff like that. And, you know, but then it can easily switch to, you know, if I step out the room, well, who are you? I was like, I'm Sheena, you know, I'm, you know, your daughter friend, you know, and stuff like that. She was like, oh, I don't remember. I was like, yeah, because I, and dad was trying to switch the subject or, you know, redirect or things like that. But, you know, again, you know, you have to do what you have to do when you're faced with certain situations like that. Because again, you want to make sure whomever you're taking care of, that they're fine, you know? But dementia is such a mean disease.
Yes.
It's such a cruel disease.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So those are some of the things that I had to do. But, you know, I'm pretty sure there's maybe been a few other things that you've had to do unconventionally.
Yes.
You was telling me something about ripping up paper. Remember
that? To take their mind. My grandmother loved to tear paper.
Mm-hmm.
And not just any paper, napkins.
Okay.
So I kept a bunch of them. Because when she got in that situation like you're talking about, the lady you were caring for,
mm-hmm.
I was like, Grandma, you want some napkin? You need a napkin? You know? And she'll get that napkin, she'll sit down, and she'll just rip that napkin to shreds. Because once... Who knows what happened with the napkin?
Right.
You know?
What's all right?
Who knows what happened? And at her age, you know, back in the day, it was a little bit harder.
A lot harder.
Yeah.
90-something. Mm.
So when she got that napkin, she was like a kid with a piece of candy.
Oh, wow.
And so sometimes it was just diverting the attention from whatever it was she was focused on. But, you know, if it was one of those situations where, you know, she was medically sick, and like you said, it's a process of elimination.
There you go.
When you get to that point.
There you go.
You have to rule out everything. But sometimes it's just diverting their attention because if her hip was hurting, she couldn't tell me.
Right.
My hip is hurting.
Right.
I would have to try to figure it out. I didn't always like to give her a Tylenol, but when you've eliminated everything else, a Tylenol's not going to hurt.
Right.
And a Tylenol will stop that pain. When they're that age, they're going to have aches. They're going to have pains.
Right.
And just like a UTI, it can cause their mental just to get off. Their behaviors to change.
Right.
And so it's just process of elimination to try to see what can satisfy them.
Right. And I remember, like, my mom always loved music, always loved to sing, always could sing. And she was, I mean, she grew up in that household because her brothers had a band and played instruments. They were always coming to get her to sing. So my mom sung in churches and, I mean, different things. So singing was in her. So she always had to sing, listen to music. So if I feel like it was one of those moments, I'll put on her favorite song and let her listen. And then it'll tick her mind. And she'll start singing and humming and singing to it. And I also did that too. When I couldn't go out to work out, the living room became the gym.
Yes.
So I put on that YouTube. She's sitting there watching workout and she listening to the music content. Two birds with one stone. I'm still getting my fitness in. She's calm and relaxed. And that's all that matters.
That's
so it's just knowing learning the person, understanding the disease, and then finding the ways, using strategies to find a way to make sure they're satisfied in that moment.
That is so key. That is so key. And that way, it makes us more bearable. It makes caregiving more bearable.
I would say.
So I do appreciate you having me. I appreciate our conversation.
Yes.
Even from your talk, and I was,
thank
it
you.
Made me think of some other things. But I do appreciate the conversation. I hope this session will be helpful.
Yes, I believe it definitely will help other people. And once again, caregiver, we want to share this information just to let you know that you're not alone. And sometimes the unconventional way is the best way. Until next time, we thank you for listening and make sure you stay tuned to Caregivers and Candid Conversations podcast.
Caregivers, you are very important people. And we want to celebrate you on your birthday. Join We Support Caregivers Birthday Club. The Birthday Club was created to celebrate caregivers who typically do not make the time to celebrate themselves. Each month, a caregiver is selected and is given a social media shout out, a birthday card, and a movie ticket to celebrate their special day. Join for free by visiting WeSupportCaregivers.org. And remember, you are very important people and you should be celebrated. We support Caregivers Incorporated because caregivers deserve self-care.